The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are the people of the Advent. We are living on the eve of the Advent of Jesus Christ.
That is Pastor Michael Oxentenko, and this is Reaching Your Heart. Here at Reaching Your Heart, we believe that God answers prayer. If you need prayer, call us today at 888-244-HOPE. That's 888-244-4673. As a reminder, you can tune in to the live worship service held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You are most welcome to be our guest either online or in person. We will have more details on that as we continue with today's broadcast. Here is our pastor teacher, Michael Oxentenko, with today's message entitled, The King of the North and the Final World Order. Here now is our pastor teacher, Michael Oxentenko, with today's Reaching Your Heart.
Let's pray. Father God, we are living in a transition of global culture. The world will never be the same. Many of us in our church have been playing church. We've been fooling around with a prophetic message, and maybe many of us don't even know we have one. While the world is clamoring for something that will show the way. Father, we know Jesus is the light of the world, but we also know that the light of your prophetic word points to Jesus at the time of the end. Now, Lord, I need your help today. I'm just grateful to be here to preach. Thank you for loving us. But, Lord, we're grateful most of all for Jesus having guided us through all the stiff stuff so we can go home. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friend, we are living in what many people today are calling the beginning of World War III. That's how the news is carrying this thing. I don't know if they're right or not, but one thing is for sure. Gas prices are up. Inflation is increasing. Our savings is diminishing. The fear of COVID has been superseded by the fear of war, the kind of war that blows up whole cities, the potential of a nuclear conflict, the collapse of the NATO alliance in the sense that it can hold Europe together. The boundaries of the post-Cold War are gone. After Russia invaded the Ukraine, people are dying on both sides as politicians, as usual, position themselves to benefit from the war. General William Tecumseh, who fought in the Civil War, said it right, war is hell. And we're watching the news, and we have to say war is hell. I mean, he said, well, when the time of trouble comes, things are going to be rough. If you're living in Kiev, it's the time of trouble for those people in Kiev. We see in our world people going through things that are horrific, experiences that will forever jar children. And we are no longer in the old normal. The world has changed. We are living at the time of the end. And you can expect more chaos, more fear, more war, and sudden terror and disease until Jesus comes. So let's just shake ourselves into shape and let's get used to it. It's not going away. It is the new normal. We are in the time of the end. Dear heart, Jesus is coming. Things are going to get worse before they get better. But they're going to get real good because Jesus is coming to save us. We are the people of the Advent. We are living on the eve of the Advent of Jesus Christ. You know, this last week, a hospital for children in Ukraine was targeted by Russian missiles. Now, my name, Michael Oxentenko, my grandfather, Mike Oxentenko, and his German wife, Ashkenazi Jewish, Martha Derheim, they married, they came to Ellis Island. I have deep Ukrainian and Belarusian roots. It pains me to see what's happening in Ukraine. It pains me to see what's happening to these dear people. Little ones died in the rubble created by adults who don't know Jesus, who don't know how to make peace, who don't know how to mind their own business. In the book of Daniel, we all live on the shores of a fast and forceful river that overflows and passes through violently on its way to the great sea. We often think of the great sea in Daniel 7. We forget the great river in Daniel 10. We live in the river that moves from Daniel's day to the end of days. And every day of our lives has a current to it. And every person moves fast in the forceful current of nations and events, moving rapidly toward the judgment day, toward the end of days. That's how the book of Daniel ends. In the book of Daniel, waters are people all around us in the river and the sea. We are touched by water. Water represents those who are alive, who churn in the masses. And the flood is full of force in the book of Daniel as the great river moves through and carves its way through time. And no one lives alone, and no man or woman is an island to himself or herself in the sea or the river. The violent river wounds us at times. It makes us wet and cold. It cuts deep caverns in our lives. And the icy current and the violence of the great river can sweep us away. And so the metaphor is sound. We're all drops in the river that flows to the sea of a vast humanity of people, just like you and me. You see, we're moving toward a time when every human being will stand together at one point of time in the future, the end of days. The river will flow and become a sea of peoples. I raised my boys casting flies in the current of the Savage River. Anybody here ever been to Western Maryland? It's a whole new universe over there, and they have great fly fishing. Anybody go there? No fly fishermen at Reaching Hearts? I take my sons to Savage River and up north here to Gunpowder Falls. It's one of the great fly fisheries of the eastern United States. They learn. You get in the Savage River, you can die. You can die in a minute just by falling in. It has a force that carries you forward. Norman McLean once wrote these words in his book, A River Runs Through It. Like many fly fishermen in western Montana, where the summer days are almost Arctic in length, I often do not start fishing until the cool of the evening. Then the Arctic half-light of the canyon. All existence fades to a being with my soul and memories and the sounds of the big Blackfoot River and a four-count rhythm and the hope that a fish will rise. Eventually, all things merge into one and a river runs through it. The river was cut by the world's great flood and runs over rocks from the basement of time. On some of these rocks are timeless raindrops. Under the rocks are the words, and some of the words are theirs. I am haunted by waters. You know, the great river is a scary river. We are in it. You know, the discourse of the King of the North and King of the South, as Seventh-day Adventists, we very often focus on Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, but Daniel 11 is alive for the time of the end. It is a prophetic expansion of the 2300-year-per-day prophecy. It expands the great timeline prophecies of Daniel 2 and 7. And so it is something which is alive for our time. It is predicted the very events that we see unfolding in our life today. To talk about history and kingdoms and empires and wars, but to miss the fact that every conflict in history and every struggle in our personal lives, because we're caught up in little wars as we see the big war, are part of the current of the great river that flows to the end of days. Friends, sooner or later, we're all going to come to the point in life when we're wedged in tight in the clamp of circumstances and experiences and trouble, between something good and something very bad, between the current of hate and the flow of love, between, tight between the sea and the glorious holy mountain, which is the final conflict in the King of the North, King of the South discourse in Daniel 11. God's people be caught in the conflict between the mountain and the sea as the great river flows. And as the disciples of Christ, and that we are also caught between forces of good and forces of evil. Every day of our life, don't you feel it? You're trying to do the right thing. You're focusing on God. This war comes along. Inflation rises. You wonder how you're going to pay your bills. And then you want to be faithful to the church. And the first temptation that comes your way is, let me quit focusing on the church and focus on my life. You ever feel that way? Well, friend, God would have you focus on the church so you can have a life. He would rather have you focus on the people of God, the cause of God, so you can live forever and get through these days. And we are somewhat deceived by the current of the time, the great river, that would tell us that if we can make ends meet, then everything will be okay. Friend, God is going to take away every single thing that gives us security at the time of the end, except the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And so we have a time to invest in things that matter in our lives. Daniel was an old man when he met Jesus in his pre-incarnate state on the shores of the great river in Daniel 10:1. You see, the answer to the conflict, the answer to the violence of the river is to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of the rushing stream. And look at verse 1. Open your Bibles, turn with me there. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. The word was true, and it was a great conflict, in the Hebrew, a great war. And he understood the word, and he had understanding of the vision, the Mare vision, the vision of the mighty man, the Christ man of Daniel chapter 8, verse 15, where the word is first introduced. The Hebrew can be translated, the word was true, and it was a great war. We come to understand truth in life, and we realize that we're in a great war in life. It's in the context of conflict we understand meaning. Only a fool thinks they can win the war by their own strength and their own good efforts. I mean, this idea that you can work your way to heaven is a sure way to go to hell, because you can't get there that way. The only way to get to God's heaven is to come to the one who has done it for you and can do it in you. And thus Christ becomes the focus of the Christian life. Daniel needed Jesus. Daniel wanted to know the truth. And when he understood the truth, he said it was a great war. You say, Pastor, you know, I started studying the Bible. I was in a Bible study. It seems my life fell apart as soon as I started focusing on biblical truth. Yeah, because it's a great war. Satan's not going to let you go easy. He's not going to make it easy for you. But when you take those baby steps toward God and truth, you can expect conflict, but the reward is great because Christ shows up. Don't think for a minute that life will go easy for you just because you study the Bible, just because you come to church. No, we live along the shores and in the great river. Daniel was caught in the middle of the river in Babylon. The more he tried to do what was right, the more trouble sought him out to take him out of life. Most people don't know much about Daniel's prophecies, but they know about the story of Daniel in the lion's den, right? That story of Daniel in the lion's den occurred when Daniel was struggling with the material of Daniel 9 and Daniel 8. He was struggling with the prophecy that would give us the Messiah. And so the devil sought to take him out. And you know, when we're studying the prophecies and we're studying the Bible, we're growing in God, and we want to share it with our friends and neighbors, the devil will try to take you out. And that is the time to realize that you need a strength that's not yours. You need Christ in you, the hope of glory. Daniel's whole life was caught in the violent current of conflict in the great river. Look at verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. That's a long time to cry if you're an old man. You know, crying for 3 weeks? Now, just do the math. 3 times 7 is how many days? Come on. I got brain fog. Calculator. Come on. 21 days. That's a long time to cry. It's a long time to cry for an older man. Daniel was weeping because his life was coming to an end. He's old. He's trying to wrap up his book, which is for the time of the end. His people are still in captivity in Daniel 10. I've heard some Bible scholars acting like they were back in the promised land. No context for that in Daniel 10. It was the end of Jeremiah's 70-year prophecy when God had promised that he would visit his people when they pray. He says he would return to them, and that when they would seek him with all of their heart, he would return to them and he would be found by them. That prophecy had not yet been fulfilled. Daniel was praying and weeping in the 70th year of the captivity, and God had not yet showed up to show the way as he had promised Daniel at the end of the 70 years prophecy of Jeremiah 29. This was the last year of Daniel's life, and he was barely alive, and he stood on the shore of the great river weeping in prayer for God to fulfill prophecy, to open up the sea and to bring his people back to the glorious land. Now, last week, Pat Robinson came out of retirement. How many of you followed that? Came out of retirement, Elder Pat Robinson, 700 Club, to announce that God was using Russia to bring about the Battle of Armageddon, the coming spiritual awakening. Talked about, you know, there'll be a spiritual awakening of young people in this country. I agree with him on that part, that there will be a spiritual awakening of young people and others at the time of the end. Of course, this war in Ukraine is seen as the fulfillment of Bible prophecy for many years. Evangelicals and others have believed that Russia is the King of the North and the Antichrist power and all that. So it plays into their literalistic worldview that there'll be a battle of Armageddon somewhere around Jerusalem, or the Valley of Megiddo, and this kind of thing. And we know that spiritual forces are at war globally. And we can't go to the Pharisees' hermeneutic, which is literalism, that the Bible does in fact have literal meaning, but you have to understand symbolic figures to get to that literal meaning. So I was impressed with the fact that this has caught the attention of the Christian world. People know that this is a game changer. A lot of people in this country are praying right now, and a lot of people feel the force of the great river right now in the Ukraine, and some are weeping because someone else has died. For them, it's the time of trouble. Now look at verses 3 and 4. I, Daniel, ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks, 21 days. On the 24th day of the first week month. Now, it's interesting here. In the Hebrew, it uses almost the idea of seven of sevens. The Sabbath idea is embedded here. So they're counting time based on Sabbath time. Verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris.
We'll continue with today's Reaching Your Heart and Pastor Michael Oxentenko in just a moment, so please stay tuned. If you'd like to attend the worship service, I will have details on how you can do that here at the close of our broadcast today. You can always attend online at reachinghearts.org/video. That's reachinghearts.org/video. Many archived messages are available there for you, and you can attend a live service in a streaming format at that website, reachinghearts.org/video. Let's continue now with Pastor Michael Oxentenko in today's Reaching Your Heart.
It's amazing how words have meaning in the Hebrew Bible. We shouldn't just read fast. The Hebrew word for Tigris is hittical, and etymologically it comes from a word that means sharp, like a thorn. It kind of represents a thorn prick, sharp. The great river is a sharp stream that cuts like a crown of thorns. Maybe there were thorny thickets there along the river that Daniel's standing. That's where Daniel stood that day, and that is exactly where we stand at the end of days, on the shore of the great river where thorn bushes abound. You get stuck and pricked, and you bleed in life. Now, the key point of the story is not about getting answers to history. Now, I like studying history, and it's not about getting answers to time prophecies, as important as they are. The key point of the story is about getting God and Jesus into your life on the shores of the great river. That's the point of Daniel 10. When life is hard, when it cuts, when there's a crown of thorns on your head like it was on Christ, Jesus shows up on the shore of the great river as the man in linen in Daniel 10. Christ is the hero in this chapter. The man in linen in Daniel 10:5 is the same as the Son of Man in Revelation 1. When you look at the picture of Jesus that introduces the book of Revelation, you will see it as the man in linen in Daniel 10:5, same person. So Christ is here in Daniel 10. He is the man that stands over the waters in Daniel 10 and 12 as the man in linen. He's Michael the great prince who stands guard over God's people because he stands over the waters. The description here of the man in linen is the same as the Son of God introduced in the book of Revelation. John the Revelator saw Jesus on the island of Patmos in a penal colony at sea. And Daniel saw Jesus on the shores of the great river when all his friends ran away and he was alone. There's a parallel experience here. Turn with me, Daniel 10, verse 5. Let's launch into the Bible. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl. His face like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the noise of a multitude. Now the Hebrew text says literally, I lifted up my eyes, and here's what the text says, Ish Echad, man one in linen. Write that in your notes, man one. It's not any man number one in linen. Daniel's eyes are downward when the man in linen shows up, and then he looks up. To see Jesus, you have to look up because Jesus is the vision of hope and the promise of future for your life. Tears plant your face to the ground when you're overcome and you feel the force of sorrow. But when Jesus shows up, you look up because Jesus is in the getting up business. Jesus is in the sending business. Jesus takes the life that has been thrown down, that has been demoralized, and he lifts the soul so that hope is the thing with wings that makes the soul to fly. The man in linen was dressed like the high priest because Jesus is both our counselor and our friend. He shows up. Friend, when life is sharp and the river harsh, Jesus is the man in linen who is standing with you to point you to heaven and to God. See, that's the key point of Daniel 10. Daniel's life is a mess. The nation isn't in the promised land yet. The promise of Jeremiah 29 has not been fulfilled. The 70 years is at hand. And when will God show up as he promised in that time prophecy? He shows up when Jesus shows up as the man in linen, man number one. So don't underestimate the power of the words here that Daniel uses. He says, I lifted my eyes and I looked and behold. How many times have we seen this with Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Ecce homo, Pilate said, behold the man, behold. Ish echad, man one, behold the man. The Bible says, hear Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your might. Friend, Jesus is the one who is God, and Jesus is the way to know God in our life, and Jesus is the key to oneness with God. He is man one. Jesus is the one who is pure. When we stand in the mud on the shore of the great river, our robes don't look good. We stand in need of Jesus. The man in linen was clothed in white because Jesus' righteousness is the only righteousness good enough for the judgment day and good enough for every day of your life until that day. We need the man in linen. And Jesus was with Daniel, whose name means God is my judge. When Christ is your judge, you get to the promised land. You get out of the mud. The thorns don't take you down. The river doesn't sweep you away because you have a Savior in your life. The man in linen had a golden girdle around his waist because Jesus' faith has been tried in the fires of affliction, and his golden character is perfect for you and me as a gift infused by the Holy Spirit, granted by the fact that we are saved and justified by faith in the man in linen. The man in linen's body was like red beryl, it says. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood for the human race on the cross of Calvary. His face was like lightning. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And his eyes were like torches and burnished bronze. Because the man in linen, Christ, went to the bronze altar at the cross. And there he saw everything with eyes like a torch as he surfed through Adam's life, Eve's life, every life, all the way down to the last life at the end of days. And he sucked everyone into himself with those eyes that can see. And with the love of a Savior, he atoned for our sins at the cross. And so he died on the bronze altar for all of us. Daniel sees this. You know, this figure of the man in linen is not an accidental picture. Daniel saw Jesus, and we need to see Jesus. How many of you would see Jesus today and live? I would see Jesus. I don't want to see some preacher. I don't want to see some self-righteous politician strutting around. I want to see Jesus. When we see Jesus in our church and in our movement, that will be the day when the Holy Spirit is poured out in power. Daniel saw Jesus. That is our need. We often try to find God in crowds. If you understand, we go to a big meeting, we'll find God in crowds. But Daniel found the pre-existent Christ when Daniel was alone. I've been alone with this COVID thing. Boy, I said, I want to get back and preach at Reaching Hearts. Couldn't get back. So guess what I had to do? I had to find Jesus all alone and be renewed in the Holy Spirit. See, God knows that your preacher can't be in the pulpit every week without going to the mountain so he can come down from the mountain. Is that fair enough stuff? I have to be renewed like you have to be renewed. And this proved to be a time of renewal in my life when I could search my life. Lord, take that thing out. Take that fault of character, that proclivity to sin. Give me Jesus. That's what I did during my COVID experience. And I, Daniel, look what he says in verse 7. I, Daniel, alone, you see the key word is alone, saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So he's alone. Key word alone. It can be scary to be alone with Christ on the shore of the great river. But the greater fear is found when you run away from Christ on the shore of the great river. Don't allow the violence of the world around you, the hardships of life, to rip you away from Jesus. You find Jesus when it's hard in life. Daniel stood in the presence of Jesus in the place called thorns. That's almost prophetic. That is the most important point in the narrative. God shows up when the man in linen shows up, and you don't have to be afraid in the presence of the man in linen. Even though he has the power to destroy you with the snap of his fingers, he doesn't show up to do that. He shows up to save you. What good is a Savior if he doesn't have power? Christ holds the thunderbolt in his hand, but he cares more for you than any kind of electricity or power he possesses. In Daniel 10:5, the man in linen is called man one in linen, as I've said. In Daniel 10:13, as we read through the chapter there, Michael, the great prince that defeats evil, when Gabriel can't get it done, is called Michael one of the princes. It's an echo of the man in linen. Man one, Ish Echad, Michael Echad. And so what we have here is a correlation. The man in linen is Michael, contextually. The discourse of the king of the north and the king of the south in Daniel 11.
Unfortunately, we'll have to pick up that discourse the next time we get together for part two of the King of the North and the Final World Order. You can find it online at reachingyourheart.com. That's reachingyourheart.com, and thank you so much for listening today. We would really love it if you would join us for our worship service. It's held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., either online or in person. If you would like to join us in person, that address is 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. Or if you're more comfortable, you're certainly welcome to watch online at reachinghearts.org/video. reachinghearts.org/video. The live broadcast will be streaming and available for you on that website, reachinghearts.org/video. Thanks for listening, and we do pray that God is reaching your heart.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.